When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me food. I was thirsty and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed Me. I was naked and you gave Me clothing. I was sick and you took care of Me. I was in prison and you visited Me." And the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me." Then He will say to those at His left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from Me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome Me, naked and you did not give Me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit Me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then He will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, as your ancient word is read, we pray that we would hear your voice. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I led a group of college students on a trip to Washington, D.C., and the purpose of the trip was to explore different ways that poverty is addressed in our nation. And so we went and we met with our congressional representative there and learned a little bit about what was going on in Congress in terms of aid packages and this or that on a national or a global scale. We met with our denominational office. We have the Presbyterian Church has an office in D.C., and we learned about what our denomination is doing. We visited a couple of local churches to see what they were doing to work with the poor and the homeless in their own communities. And then we ended up in a house, a nondescript house in a completely ordinary neighborhood, perhaps slightly impoverished, outside of the city of Washington, D.C. It was a Catholic worker house. The Catholic Worker is an organization that was founded by Dorothy Day in the 1930s. It's an organization that has sought to provide hospitality, care and compassion in a very localized way. No grand ambitions of changing the world, simply the hope of changing the neighborhood by living in and among the people of a neighborhood. And so we toured this house. We were so curious because of how different an approach this particular organization would take. And I remember distinctly as we walked through this house, we were going down the stairs into the basement where their large gathering space was. And the whole wall along those stairs was a mural, colorful, bright colors, and then set against these bright colors were bold words, and they were these: "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." When I saw those words in that place, in the context of this home, this place where people had for probably decades there in the D.C. area had welcomed those who had no home or no shelter, had invited to sit at table those who had no food, had given community to those who were lonely. When I saw those words on that wall, I realized I'd been reading this passage wrong up until that point, that I'd never quite seen this passage in the right way. I've always seen it in much too distant or sterile a way. We're talking about the King sitting in judgment at the end of days. It's salvation and it's damnation. It's the big picture of the gospel. Here it is. Who wins and who loses? This is how I always read this passage. Who are the sheep and who are the goats? But when I saw the words on the wall, I realized that it was something completely different, that this was, in fact, a call to action. Forget about comparing the supposedly good against the supposedly bad. Forget about the complications of eternal reward and eternal punishment. Forget about the far-off end of all things. Let's think about today and what Jesus is calling us to do and to be today. I saw the writing on the wall. I saw the work that Christians are to be busy with. This is the work of the church. Now, as I've already said today, the church looks very different than it did when it started. We have buildings now, we have staff, and we have doctrines, and we have traditions, and we have things that we work to maintain and to preserve. But all of these things, at least at their best, at their core, they seek to preserve, they seek to hold on to their original purpose, to reach out to others with the love of Christ, to equip the saints of the church to be ambassadors in the world, to allow God's power to work in us and through us. And in order for all that to happen, something very crucial has to happen first. And that's the transformation that happens here. That's the work of God that starts here with me, with each and every one of us. God at work in my life, God at work changing my heart. Before we are extending the love of Christ to others, first we are the stranger who is embraced, or we are the prisoner who has been visited, or we are the sick, or we are the hungry. First we are the one who is in need, who has received from God. And this is the real beauty of the church. This church for the last 180 years, the church for the last 2,000 years, that it's full of broken people. Broken people who are helping other broken people. People who have experienced the grace of God and have decided to try as best they can to extend that grace to others, even while we are still in need of that grace daily ourselves. The psychologist Carl Jung coined the phrase wounded healers, talking about psychologists in relationship with their patients. But that is what we are. That is what the Christian church is full of. Full of wounded healers, full of people who have their cracks, who are broken, who are daily in need of God's grace and yet still not shying away from extending that grace to others. And we start right here in the community of faith. Yes, it's for the world, but it begins for us here in this place. A member of this church who moved away once shared some of her thoughts with me about her church, about Milford Presbyterian. I want to share some of what she wrote to me. She writes, "I've told everyone who would listen that Milford Presbyterian Church is the best church I have ever attended. The family feel is remarkable and so warm. I love to walk in or out and be greeted or greet so many people. It's a terrific church. It will be hard to match. MPC has come to my aid in the past more times than I can count. When my husband's health began to fail, the churchmen were willing to help with transportation. A Stephen minister faithfully came to visit him. When my husband died, the ladies of the church brought in meals to help with the influx of family who came to the funeral. They also collected warm clothing in various sizes and boots, hats and scarves and mittens for those of my family who came from Florida, knowing they did not own warm clothing. When I had a hip replacement and could not cook for myself, the deacons brought meals. Whatever little I have been able to do at the church to help has been so much less than what I have received from my church family. This is a very special church. When I returned to church after my husband died, it was difficult to sit there alone. A lady, who never gave me her name, used to sit a bit down the pew from us. She slid over to sit beside me and held my hand firmly throughout the service. I'm so impressed with the many things that the people of Milford Presbyterian do, whether they are formally on duty for the church or not. It is a friendly, supportive church. After having been part of many congregations throughout my life, I think that Milford Presbyterian is an extraordinary church family. It truly is one in a million. God changes us. God changes us, the community of faith, and God uses us to change the world. In a moment, in a very unique way, we're going to see examples of precisely this: God changing our hearts, God changing our lives, and God changing this world. As it turns out, it's not the work of the church at all. It's the work of God in us.